Welcome to this 11KBW podcast, a local authority recovery of care home fees by Jonathan Auburn. This talk was given at the 11KBW Community Care, COP and Health Conference on the 14th of May 2019 at the Crown Plaza on New Bridge Street in London. For more information, please visit 11kbw.com.
Not talking about that, thankfully. I'm talking about care home fees. Care home fee recovery. And I think it's very important that I say one thing at the very outset, which is that my next half hours will have no criticism whatsoever of the Ombudsman. And I would not take anything in any of my slides which do mention the Ombudsman to be inferred or implied as any criticism whatsoever. And you'll see why. It's quite meaningful, actually. It's, apart from being a good opening gag, it's meaningful in ways I will explain in a moment. Right. Another thing I'm not going to do is a run-through on interesting reported cases, because there really aren't any. We had my Knotts and Belton case a couple of years ago on limitation periods. That was sort of interesting, and, you know, people got something out of that, but there really isn't very much. I mean, you can look on the fringes of care home fees recovery to bankruptcy and related areas and intention and legal professional privilege, and there are bits and pieces, but I wanted to pick what I think are probably the more important things rather than little bits of recent case law, which is marginal. And these are the five I've come up with. Getting into the first one, care home collection of contributions. Now this is a bit of a hot button issue at the moment, because I've had people from all sides asking me about it, both local authority, care homes, individuals, and as we'll see in a moment, the Ombudsman is very active in this specific area. It's an issue of the moment. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the situation where a local authority has standard contracts, which it uses for its care home placements, which provide that it's the care home, not the local authority, but the care home that collects the resident's assessed contribution. So local authority does financial assessment, comes out with its decision saying Mr. X gets local authority assistance but has to pay a assessed contribution of, I don't know, pick a number, £75 a week as their assessed contribution. And plenty of local authorities have standard contracting which provides that the care home collects that in from the individual. There's also usually in these contracts, I've seen I've seen these contracts from about 10 different local authorities, London and elsewhere, and they're all slightly different, but they usually contain some flaw or safeguard that if the care home fails to do it, then the local authority still does the funding. Local authority is always responsible for the funding ultimately. But it's the issue that's caused concern is care homes collecting contributions when financial assessment and charging in the Care Act is very much a statutory responsibility put on local authorities, not on private bodies. Assessment, charging with local authorities. So, question, can local authorities effectively delegate the getting in of the money to the care home and pay the care home net of contributions? That's the debate. It might sound minor, but I see local authorities everywhere having this argument, having this issue raised. The key part of the guidance that is raised is paragraph 8.33, which says, where a local authority is meeting needs by arranging a care home, it, the local authority, is responsible for contracting with the provider, care home provider. It is responsible for paying the full amount, including where a top-up is being paid. However, where all parties are agreed, it may choose to allow the person to pay the provider directly for the top-up where this is permitted. So that last sentence refers to private contracting arrangements, which there always are some private contracting arrangements, and refers to private contracting arrangements having doing something different for top-ups. Top-ups, not collecting in of individual contributions that go to the local authority. So the debate is around this paragraph, and does this paragraph, or can local authorities pay care homes net of contribution, so the care home itself gets in the contribution, pass it on, consistently with guidance, most particularly this paragraph. The Ombudsman has ruled, and it's the Moreland House Ombudsman decision. You do need to, if you've got an issue, got this issue coming up, you do need to look at it. It's not an overly long decision, and it comes up immediately. If you just put Moreland House Ombudsman into Google, it comes up, you know, immediately. This was an ombudsman complaint against both the care home and the local authority for a number of different things, which we'll partly come to later on around information and arrangements. But on this point, the ombudsman found the council, Barking and Dagenham, at fault for contracting out collection of the contributions. So exactly that thing I was talking about on the previous slide, the council paying care homes net of contributions, leaving up to the care home to get in assessed council contributions. And that, the Ombudsman said, was not permissible under the guidance, particularly 833. And I've summarised the Ombudsman decision incredibly briefly there. The Ombudsman did have, you know, an extensive discussion and acknowledged the difficulty, the lack of certainty in the guidance, and I think acknowledged that there were arguments both ways. So, the Ombudsman's views on it. You can see why I wanted my caveat at the beginning, because there are definitely views both sides. The Ombudsman has opted one way, but there is still debate. The Ombudsman's decision, local authorities not able to pay the care home net of contributions. Local authorities have to pay the care home in full, get its contributions from the individual. A section of the Ombudsman's report, CSSG is the Care and Support Statutory Guidance, the guidance, or the Care Act guidance, as we know it. Guidance strongly discourages councils from getting care providers to collect third-party top-ups, because if you remember back a couple of slides ago, 8.33 of the guidance has that final sentence about top-ups. So the Ombudsman saying, guidance strongly discourages councils from getting providers to collect top-ups on its behalf, although it's permissible if there's choice and parties agree. So 8.33 of the guidance, you can make arrangements, i.e. put in your contract that the care home collects top-ups, that's one thing. And the Ombudsman says, yes, but that's the one thing that's mentioned, not contributions generally. The guidance specifically makes an exception for top-ups, and the Ombudsman's saying, and the guidance doesn't make an exception for contributions beyond top-ups. And that, very, very briefly, is the gist of the Ombudsman's reasoning. You see the third line, CSSG, the guidance only specifies this arrangement is allowed for top-ups, does not provide any similar discretion for client contributions to be collected by the care home provider, makes common sense in terms of the intent, as it's care home resident who is likely to be most in need of the administrative protections the guidance envisages. And it's why I said it's important to read the whole of the Moreland House decision, because the flavour of it, and you can see very, very clearly the Ombudsman's concern, and it's repeated elsewhere in other statements from the Ombudsman's concern is about administrative protections to residents because assessment contributions are not simple things. I don't think simple things to understand, they're not simple things to calculate or to check. And if the care home is taking charge of that, not local authority, the concern is that the protections within the guidance, which the Ombudsman says is the local authority taking charge of contributions, those protections fall away. I've raised, without reaching a decision on this, whether the Ombudsman is correct in this view on whether the guidance prevents local authorities from getting in monies net or having care homes collect contributions. The short point is there are arguments both ways. The Ombudsman has opted one way. There continue to be views, both different views both ways. I say in the third box, it's possible to interpret the guidance to mean that collection can be delegated because the legal obligation still rests with the local authority. That's basically the other argument. The Ombudsman saying, no, the guidance envisages or effectively provides that collection must be done by local authority, of contributions. The other argument which local authorities run is that, well, the guidance doesn't say that, and you can distinguish between the ultimate obligation to pay, which is on local authority, and collection of contributions which can be delegated. And finally, which is local authority argument, is the guidance doesn't expressly prohibit what is being envisaged here. So that's where we are. Two views. Ombudsman opted one way, and no doubt we'll continue to act on that basis, and we'll see if there is any if it goes any further. The second main point, really there are two, similar to my talk earlier this morning, the two points I take at the beginning are the two main points, and the other ones are very much shorter subsidiary points. The second point on care home fees is the Competition Markets Authority, which Andrew mentioned briefly in his talk. He very briefly referenced that the Competition Markets Authority, the CMA, has been active in this area. They issued a report in November 2018, UK Care Home Providers for Older People, Advice on Consumer Law. So they've got a long report, about 150 pages with annexes. They've also been getting undertakings from care home providers. There's been a prosecution. And what the CMA has been active on is consumer law. So the CMA, Competition Markets Authority, is looking at the care home provider, the independent provider sector, its practices, and the way and whether or not they're compliant with UK consumer law in ways which I'll come to in a moment. Now, you might ask, well, what's that got to do with me? I'm an individual resident or advising an individual resident. Sure, I might not be happy with the consumer law aspects to the provider, but when the local authority is billing me, how does it affect my relationship with the local authority? And similarly for local authorities, how does this all affect us if the CMA is looking at the relationship between the resident and the care home, the independent care home? Well, it can be relevant, the starting point is we don't know, I've got to be frank, because like many of these areas, there's been no judgment on it. There's been no case which has determined it. I've been involved in one case recently where these issues were raised, but it didn't end up in a judgment. The case settled. So how I found the CMA issues relevant is because the individual resident, the lawyers acting for the resident, can say, well, you, local authority, have sent me your invoice or your legal claim for £200,000 for past care home fees. I'm now investigating all the numbers here and how you've charged me. And I think this Competition Markets Authority report is very, very interesting, actually. And I think the monies I've been charged, or what I'm being expected to pay, fall foul of what the Competition and Markets Authority is saying must be done in relation to care homes, albeit that the report is about the independent provider market and residents. So that's how it comes up and has come up in local authority fee recovery from individuals, or particularly from families. And that is effectively the next slide. The CMA is about the enforcement of consumer law. Yes, it's against care homes, providers, not local authorities, but individuals can and have been putting these arguments forward as a means of saying that they should be able to resist recovery or the amounts aren't as they're being charged. Some examples of where this arises, because I haven't gone into the content yet of what CMA is talking about. I thought it's important to make clear the relevance first, because it might not be immediately obvious why any of this is relevant. The content. What is the Competition and Markets Authority? What have they been looking at? Well, some of the things they've been looking at are the transparency of upfront fees by independent providers. There was one enforcement action, Sunrise Senior Living, where the CMA got, I think it was agreed undertakings in relation to the information provided on upfront fees or the use of upfront fees. CMA is particularly also looking at charges post-death, because it's been quite common in the care home sector to charge 4 weeks after post-death, and that's been the subject of enforcement action by the CMA. And most particularly for local authorities, administration fees and what are called hidden fees, the types of charging that can be used in care home situation, which become part of local authority invoice and under the heading of administration or some aspects of the charging. That has been, those administration fees have been a focus of the CMA. So those are things that I've seen come up in this area in terms of local authority recovery. I won't go into the detail of the CMA report and the issues, but the CMA particularly looks at the information that's provided by care homes to residents, how much information is given, how much residents are told about charges, what they're being charged for. And again, this is being used after the event by residents when they're given a 5 or 6 figure bill by local authorities, or subject to court action by local authorities, to pay these sums. And they say, well, you know, I've read the CMA report, you know, your charges fall foul of this for the information provided and so on. Similarly, along the lines of the consumer law issues the CMA has looked into, where the underlying contracting paperwork, whether terms are simple, clear and easy to understand, whether the terms are unfair or misleading or so on. So those things which are about the contractual relationship between the private care home and the individual, again, have been used or are part of arguments which individuals use against local authority years later. Those are the two, and we don't know where this is going to end up, because until there is a decided case on the relevance or otherwise of the CMA consumer law issues to recovery of care home fees by the local authority. Last couple of issues I was going to cover briefly are ombudsman decisions and reports. Obviously, there's a whole bank of ombudsman decisions online, which are very useful. I've mentioned the Moreland House one. We've got a whole good practice guidance by the Ombudsman, which is looking at the independent care sector, but obviously is informative for local authority-funded care home places. It's quite clear from what's come out from the Ombudsman, from reports, good practice guidance, and so on, that some of the issues the Ombudsman often looks at are information provided to families, whether families are provided with sufficiently adequate information about charges, their liability to charges, choice, whether the individual or the family are offered choice in terms of another care home which doesn't require a top-up or a cheaper alternative, and so on. And the clarity of charging. And to give you an indication of the focus of the Ombudsman, I've got a quote from Michael King at the bottom. Councils have a duty to provide accurate information to families about care home placements, particularly important at times such as this, where families do not have the luxury of being able to plan for their relatives' care. So there's been a real focus by the Ombudsman, particularly on the information provided, that also ties in quite closely with the flavour of what the CMA have been looking at from a consumer law angle. And then that, you'll also see that as well in the Moreland House Ombudsman decision, which I talked about earlier in the talk, about care homes collecting contributions. The Moreland House Ombudsman decision also looks at issues of clarity of care home, of information provided by both the homes and local authority, because the complaint in Moreland House was against local authority and the care home as well. It looks at the information that was given about fees, how well that was understood. One issue that arose is there was delay in the invoicing by the local authority, and because of the delay in invoicing, that led to the adult daughter receiving a whacking great invoice down the track as a surprise. Other matters which are listed there. So those are some of the issues, the other issues which the Ombudsman decision talks about in terms of care home placements and fees. Probably the last point to cover, because my actual last point is the green paper, and there are two reasons to not say much about that. One, there isn't anything to say because it's only just been delayed. And two, the nothing there is to not say, Andrew has not said. So that's that covered. So the final point is costs. And there's a point here which I just flag up. So this is, you've been through your care home recovery action in court, whichever side you're acting for. And the court's made a decision, whichever way it's gone. And you then have a costs issue about the cost of the action. And is that costs issue just determined on normal principles of the CPR and any case law relevant to cost? Well, if it is, then what is the impact, if any, of Care Act Section 69.5? Care Act Section 69 is a provision about the basic debt recovery mechanism for care home fees, local authority recovery care home fees. And subsection 5 on costs says the costs incurred by a local authority in recovering or seeking to recover a sum due to it under this part are recoverable by the authority as a debt due to it. And I raise the question, because we don't have an answer yet, as to what is the effect of that. Is it purely administrative or functional, in that it doesn't affect in any way arguments as to cost rules, case law on cost rules, or does it take us out of the usual regime or the discretion that's explained in case law on costs? We don't know the answer. There hasn't been a decision on that. I've got an argument coming up. We'll see how it goes. I won't give a view before I see how that goes. So those are the green paper done. So those are the 5 points on local authority recovery of care home fees. We will do questions after this exciting...